I'd like to have you look at verse 6 and 7 this morning. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6 and verse number 7. The Apostle Paul told the Colossian believers, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Notice that again. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul told the Colossian believers that as they received Christ, they needed to walk in the same way they received Christ. How is it that a person receives Christ? They receive Christ by faith. How is it that we walk from day to day? We're to walk by faith. The Bible says we ought to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, before the automobile and the train ever came into being, before the plane and the horse and carriage, man walked everywhere he went. Before he could figure out that, hey, I could ride a horse, he walked. You know, walking is not only a means of transportation, but walking is a means of fellowship. You can get to know someone very well as you walk with them. A number of years ago, I went to see Phyllis Rice before she passed away. And Brother Bill was in the house, and Phyllis was dying of cancer. And I went there and we had a word of prayer, and she reached over and took my hand and she said, "Preacher, walk with me." And we walked towards the front door and we walked out the door and we walked through the yard, and it was a nice warm spring day. And she began to share her heart with me and her concerns about Brother Bill. And that day I learned a lot about Phyllis, because I had an opportunity to fellowship with her as I walked. You can learn so much from a person as you walk through life with them. I really believe that the child of God needs to learn to walk with one another. And if we are going to strive together for the faith of the gospel, we need to go ahead and walk together as Christians, fellowshipping one with another. But more important than that, we need to learn to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. We need to walk with Him and talk with Him by the way. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6, "so walk ye in Him." I hear a lot about the Christian race and how that we are supposed to run the race that is set before us. But before you can ever learn to run, you've got to learn to walk. And if we're ever going to be effective in our Christian life, we need to go ahead, not only walk in mutual faith with one another, but most of all, we need to learn to walk with God. Men throughout the Scripture walked with God. The Bible says in Enoch, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He must have had a real close fellowship with God. We find in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9, it says, "Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah is a just man and perfect. And he walked with God." Imagine, he walked with God. And God chose Noah to go ahead and save the people here in the earth by building the ark and saving his children. In Psalm 26:3, it says, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, I have walked in thy truth." Genesis 17 and verse number 1, the Lord says, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect," he told Abraham. In Leviticus 18:4, it says, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein, I am the Lord your God. In Leviticus 18:23, and you shall not walk after the manner of the nations, which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. In Leviticus 26:3, the Lord says, and you walked in my statutes and kept my commandments and do them. In verse 12 of chapter 26, it says, and I will walk among you, and ye will be my and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. In Leviticus 26:21, it says, and if you walk contrary to me, I will not hearken and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Boy, Christian, you better wake up. We need to go ahead and understand that there are blessings with walking with God, and there are judgments if we don't walk with God. The children of Israel are a perfect example of that. In chapter 26 of Leviticus, verse 23 and 24, the Lord says, and if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. I wonder why America is in such a mess that America is in. I think one of the reasons is because we as God's people have walked contrary to His ways. And we have done our own things, and we don't walk with God as the people of God anymore. And I believe if we want God's blessings on our life, we need to learn to go ahead and walk with God once again. Amen?
Amen.
If we're going to be striving successfully together, it requires a daily walk with God. In Deuteronomy 13:4, it says, and ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice. And ye shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him. This morning I want to share with you just eight simple truths about a life that walks with God. Now, if I'd interview each person here today, and I'd talk to you, and I'd say, do you walk with God? More than likely we would say, well, sure, preacher, I walk with God. I walk with God every day. But do we really walk with God? I really believe that there are evidences, there are some aspects of a daily walk that needs to be evident in our lives. And as we look at these different truths, I hope that you'll find them in your life. And if you don't find them, I hope that you'll run to where the Lord is and say, Lord, help me to walk with You. Life is too short. And life is filled with too much chaos and confusion. Number one, not to know God. And then if you know Him, not to walk with Him. I need Thee every hour, the old song says. So let me give you eight aspects of a successful daily walk. Number one, a daily walk. Before I begin, go back to Luke chapter 24. I want you to see something. Luke 24. Now the disciples, the crucifixion had already taken place. The resurrection had already taken place. And we find that after the resurrection, the women went to the tomb and said, you know what? He's not there. An angel told us that He has risen. And they came back and told the disciples. And now the disciples, two of them are on the road to Emmaus. And they're walking down the road. And all of a sudden, it says in verse number 13, and behold, two of them went the same day into a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked. Look at verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. What were they doing? They were walking. They were walking down life's road. They were walking down the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says, there's some interesting words here. As they walked, verse 14 says that they talked together. Verse 15, they communed together. And verse number 15, it says they reasoned together. Then we find that Jesus joined up with them. Now, I don't know, the Bible talks about how that they didn't recognize who He was. Maybe He hid that from them. Maybe He had a hood up over top of His head and it kind of shrouded His face. I really don't know, but Jesus was not known unto them until the end of this narrative. We find that as they walked, all of a sudden Jesus Christ started explaining the Scripture to them. At the end of their conversation, at the end of their walk, they said, "It's the day is far spent. Why don't you come and spend the night with us? And you know, we've got a home here, and you can just relieve yourself." And the Bible talks about how that He just vanished. And they realized it was the Lord. And they said this in verse number 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way?" By the way, that means, Brother Bob, they were walking. They were walking. And as they were walking and they were talking to the Lord, there was a burning inside of their bosom. There was a fire that was kindled because they took time and they walked with God that day. When was the last time you really walked with God? When was the last time you got alone with God and you walked with Him and you took several hours and you meditated on His Word and you prayed and you paced the floor and you just talked to God and it was just so real? When was the last time that happened in your life? I think each and every one of us need to understand that we need to walk with God. But how do we recognize whether or not we're really walking with God or not? Aspect number one. You ought to jot this down. If we're walking with God, we have a life filled with truth. Amen. A life filled with truth. You cannot live a lie and walk with God. You cannot, every time you come in contact with a Christian, if you all you're doing is just trying to shade things and try to make yourself look good, make yourself look in a light that you're really not, you know what? You're not walking in truth. And the Bible talks about that a successful daily walk is a life filled with truth. Walking a life of truth is walking a life that is obedient to the Word of God. In Psalm 86 and verse number 11, it says this, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name." Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 1, if you would, please. Psalm 119, verse number 1. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." The Bible says that those who walk in truth are blessed. Verse number 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 4, "That the Lord may continue His word which He spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their ways to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee," he said, "a man on the throne of Israel." In 3 John verse number 4, it says, "I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth." I believe that if we are going to walk with God, we need to walk in truth as a child of God. Y'all with me? Say amen. We need to walk a life filled with truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." One of the attributes of God is truth. The Bible says in Him is no... God can't lie. He's not filled with lies. Matter of fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18, it's impossible for God to lie. In Titus 1 and verse number 2, it says that God cannot lie. So God, one of the aspects of God is truth. And if we're going to walk with God, we have to walk in truth. That means I need to be truthful with myself, I need to be truthful with my neighbor, and I need to be truthful with God. Aspect number 2. We need to have a life of integrity and uprightness. A life of integrity and uprightness. In Psalm 84 and verse number 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." We need to have integrity in our life. You say, what is integrity? What does it mean to have integrity? What does it mean to be upright in our life? It's kind of like this. If you're a person of integrity, you'll do the right thing even if no one is watching. Amen? A person that has integrity will do the right thing even though no one is watching. And even though they get no recognition for it whatsoever. By the way, what would you do if you knew you could get away with it and no one would ever find out? The answer to that question reveals whether you have integrity in your heart or not. Amen? We need to understand that if a person is walking with the Lord, they have a life of integrity. It's doing the right thing when no one else is watching. Psalm 4 and verse 3 through 5, it says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune upon your own heart, upon your bed, be still. And be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." In Romans 13 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and in drunkenness, not in chamberling and wantonness, not in strife and envy." In 1 Thessalonians 4:12, it says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. You may have lack of nothing. We need to walk honestly. Teach your children to be honest. A number of years ago, my son John and I were going through the grocery store here in Oak Harbor. And we were going down the dairy section and John says, "Dad, look! Money!" I looked down. There was a wad of bills laying on the floor. He grabbed me and says, "Just in time for Christmas." I said, "Son, it doesn't work that way." He says, "What do you mean?" "I found it. Finders keepers, you know, Dad." And he says, "It's in the Bible, isn't it?" I said, "No, it's not in the Bible." And I says, "Give it to me." "What are you going to do with it?" "I found it." I says, "Somebody lost that." I said, "Somebody's going to have to pay for their groceries." I said, "Let's take it up to the clerk." He says, "But Dad." I says, "No, let's take it up to the clerk." And so we went up to the office and I said, "Sir," I said, "Somebody lost this on the floor." He says, "What do you want me to do with it?" He says, "Just keep it." I says, "No." I says, "It's not mine." He says, "It's right before Christmas." My son said, "See, I told you." And I said, "No, John." I said, "Go ahead and put it in an envelope." And I said, "Maybe someone will come by and say, you know what? I lost some cash. And you can give it to them." Boy, did my son feel depressed. And he said, "Well, let me go ahead and get your name." And he said, "If they don't claim it in a couple of weeks, we'll just give it to you." My son said, "Really?" So in about a week, we went ahead and checked. And they said, and they called the police station and nobody had reported anything. In about a week, nobody called in. And we went into the store, and my son says, "Dad, ask if anybody claimed that money." I said, "Oh, okay." And he says, "Nope, nobody claimed it. Still here." I said, "Okay." So another week passed, and we went into the store, and he says, "Dad, ask him, see if there's anybody claimed that." He says, "Just take the money." He says, "Nobody's going to claim it." I said, "No, we'll wait another week." And of course, John was saying, "Dad, come on, just take the money." You know. So after about a month, we went into the grocery store and I said, "Did anybody claim that money?" He said, please, just take it. Merry Christmas. My son was going, yes. And so, he got a chance to go ahead and have a little bit extra cash for Christmas. But, walking with God requires having a life of integrity. Amen? If we're going to walk with God, let's make sure that we do the right thing. And even though we might not get recognition for it, or even though we might not be rewarded for it, let's make sure that we do the right thing. Even if nobody's watching, let's do the right thing. A walk with God is a life filled with integrity and uprightness. Psalm 26 verse 11 says, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me, the psalmist said. Number 3. Hope you write this down. A life that is walking with God is a life that is walking in the Spirit of God. I don't know how many times Dr. Bruce Cummins at Massillon Baptist Temple, where I ended up going to Bible college at Massillon Baptist College, he said this. He said, my human best filled with the Spirit of God. And that was one of his famous quotes that over and over and over you'd hear that. My human best filled with the Spirit of God. You see, your human best by yourself is not good enough. Your human best must be filled with the Spirit of God. If I'm going to go ahead and walk with God, I must be filled with the Spirit of God. Because if I walk with God and I walk in the flesh, I'll be rejected. I'll find no common ground. There's a reason why people have a hard time walking with God. They say, preacher, it's just so hard. It's so hard to live the Christian life. You have to first be filled with the Spirit of God before you can actually walk with Him on a daily basis. Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We will not live a life filled with condemnation if we're walking in the Spirit of God. We will not be condemned by men, nor will we be condemned by God if we will walk in the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5:16 it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You having trouble with carnal cravings? Are you having trouble with victory in your life, in your spiritual life? You need to let the Spirit of God have reign in your life. Amen? In Galatians 5:25, the Apostle Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if the Spirit of God is living in you, then go ahead and walk with Him. Have communion with Him. Have fellowship with Him throughout the day. You see, the aspect of a daily walk with God is a life directed by the Spirit of God. We cannot hold animosity and hatred in our hearts if we plan to walk with God. Number 4. The fourth aspect of walking with God includes this. Is a life filled with the love of God. You know, the Bible, the Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine? God in all of His glory and all of His holiness was willing to come to this world and send His Son to die in your place and mine because He chose to love us even though we were not lovable. And while we were yet sinners, we didn't clean up our life in order to get saved. We got saved because we needed salvation because we're sinners. Amen? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God. How rich and pure, the old song says. In John chapter number 13, verse number 35, it says, "And hereby shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another." You know, it's sad that the Christian army is the only army that buries their wounded. Amen? As soon as a Christian brother or sister falls, the other Christians stand around and kick a little dirt on them and say, "You know what, I knew it wasn't going to be very long before you fell." And that's not the way the child of God should be. We should be there to lift up the fallen. The Bible says, "If you see a brother and overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." He said, "Bury one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." It tells us in the book of Galatians. In Ephesians 5:2, it says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us." What type of love was that? A sacrificial love? A love that forgives? A love that endures? A love that goes the second mile? Not just doing what we have to do because it's expected of us, but you know what? Going above and beyond that, because we love God. Walk in love. "And walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given Himself as an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor." God's people ought to be about two things. Number one, loving God. Number two, loving others. You know, there's a lot of sin out there in this world. And many times we as Christians, we get confused when it comes to the sin versus the sinner. I hate the acts of homosexuality. I believe it's depraved, immoral, and ungodly. And my belief on that and my understanding of that is based upon the Word of God. But the individual, I need to show the love of Christ to them. Amen? I hate the drunk. Excuse me. I hate the liquor. I have to love the drunk. Amen? I see what the liquor does. The liquor destroys homes. One in four fatal accidents on U.S. highways are alcohol or drug related. One in four. And we think to ourselves, well, you know what? People shouldn't drink and drive. No, people shouldn't drink. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, a man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. And that's very true. Jesus was a friend to gluttons and winebibbers. He was a friend to drunks. He hated drunkenness. Amen? How in the world is the world ever going to see the love of Christ if all they see is us hating? Amen? I think we ought to go ahead and make a real distinction between sin and the sinner. Amen? We ought to love the sinner, we ought to hate the sin. We ought to hate drunkenness, but we ought to love the drunk. We ought to hate immorality. Fornication and adultery and sodomy and all those things. But you know what, those people, we ought to go ahead and show the love of Christ to them and maybe we can win them to Christ. Because they are not beyond hope as long as they're taking another breath. You say, well, God's turned them over to the corruption of the flesh according to Romans chapter number 1. You know what, I'll leave that into God's hands. Amen. I'll leave it into God's hands, and when God says, I'm done with you and I'm not going to deal with you anymore, but until then, I'm just going to continue to witness and try to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Christ. You see, a real Christian walk, a daily walk, is filled with the love of God. That means loving family members, when sometimes they're not very lovable. Ladies, that means sometimes loving your husband when they're a grump. They've come home and they've had a bad day at work. Or vice versa, fellas. We live in a society where many, many women are at work too. By the way, I personally believe the best thing possible, and I'm probably going to get shot down with this, but women stay at home.
Amen. Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. I do too. I agree. But you know, unfortunately, we live in a two-income society, and it's very, very difficult. The ideal situation is fellas work a job and then ladies raise your kids.
Right.
Amen? Amen. Now you say, preacher, I think you're just a male chauvinist pig. Well, that's up to you. You have the right to say that, I guess. But so many problems could be solved if we raised our own kids instead of letting somebody else raise our kids. Amen? But just remember, fellas, if your wife is at work and she is working a job, then you have equal responsibility to take care of things at the house as she does. That means the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry and all that stuff. You know what? If she's working outside, you ought to go ahead and help out that stuff too. And many times, guys will come home and you know, they work their 40, 50 or more hours a week, and they come home and they sit down and say, well, I did my duty and there's nothing more that I'm supposed to do. And your wife goes ahead and works 40 or 50 hours and she still has to do the house. There's something wrong with that whole scenario. Amen? I thought I'd get a lot more amens out of the women than that. But listen, fellas, ladies, if we're going to walk with God, we need to go ahead and learn to walk with one another. Look, if you would, please, in 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 7. This isn't even in my outline. It's free. All right? 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 7. The Apostle Peter is talking to husbands and wives. It says in verse number 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. It doesn't say that she is a weaker vessel, but the fellas ought to treat her as a weaker vessel. Listen, fellas, treat your wife as a piece of fine crystal, not an old tin cup. Amen? And if you will do that, and you will treat her as... Thank you, Karen, I appreciate that. But I heard an amen over there. I was kind of wondering who it came from until I saw Bob laughing over there. But we ought to go ahead and treat them like a piece of fine crystal. My wife's got some lead crystal glasses. There's a proper way to store them in your cupboard. And that is bottoms down. You never put a piece of lead crystal with the rim on the shelf, because you have a chance of chipping it and cracking it. You always set it upright. And we need to make sure we know how to treat our wives, fellas. You want to have a good marriage? Most of the responsibility falls upon the shoulders of the husbands to make it right. Boy, ladies, there was a good opportunity. Amen, preacher. We appreciate that. So we ought to have a life filled with love. And if we're going to have a life that walks with God, then we need to learn to love one another. Amen? Love our spouses. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But even more so, if we're going to win the world, we need to love them and show the love of Christ to them. The Christian walk is not only a life filled with love and the love of God, but it is a life that is a circumspect walk. All through Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, you're going to read about walk this way, walk this way, walk this way. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, the Apostle Paul told the church of Ephesus, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now that word circumspectly comes from the same word where we get the word circumference from. You say, well, what was the Apostle Paul trying to tell them? He was trying to tell the church of Ephesus, look, as you walk your Christian life, you need to walk keeping everything in full view. You know, a lot of Christians forget where they came from. Remember what life was like before you got saved? And sometimes we forget where we're going. We're going to a place called heaven forever. Sometimes, in our Christian walk, if we don't walk circumspectly, we forget what's below us. We forget the hell that people go to. And we forget what is above us in eternity and glory. We forget those things that are around us. People every day. People need the Lord. And every day we come in contact with people. One of our ladies handed me a gospel tract this week, and she was over in Sandusky Mall and handed it to some lady working at Macy's, and the gal read the tract, and she was thankful that she received it. She thanked her for giving her the tract, and I guess later then she signed the back of the tract and handed it back to her, saying that she trusted Christ. I typed a letter this morning and dropped it in an envelope, and when I leave church today, I'll put it in the mailbox and send it off to Brother Joel Capizzi over in Norwalk, and she lives right over by the church. Listen, we need to remember there are people all around us. And a life that is walking with God is a circumspect life. We keep everything in full view. When we keep everything in full view, it helps us to walk the straight and the narrow. Number 6, it is a life worthy of our salvation. It is a life worthy of our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He says, listen, we are called to live for God as a Christian. Walk worthy of that. A worthy life. And then in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, it says that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. God forgave us. The Bible says He took our sin and cast Him as far as the east is from the west, and He would remember them no more. The Bible tells us when we get saved, He writes our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God doesn't have erasers. Amen? That's good to know. We ought to walk a life that's worthy of our salvation and worthy of the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. Number 7. The seventh aspect of a successful daily walk with God is a new walk. A new life, a victorious life over sin. The Bible tells us very clearly in Colossians 2 and verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. If a person is walking in the manners of the world, if they're walking like the lost world, if they're living their lives like the lost world lives their lives, you're not walking with God. If your steps lead you to the bar and a house of ill repute, to a crack house, don't tell me you're walking with God. If your steps lead you to a place of gossip and mischief and destruction, don't tell me you're walking with God. Because a person that walks with God, even though we have not obtained, we're following after. And we are striving to be what be right with God. A life of victory over sin. And then number 8, the result of walking with God. What's the result? As a child of God, when I walk with God, are there some things that go along with that? There certainly is. Number 1, we receive the blessings of God when we walk with Him. In Genesis chapter number 5 and verse 22 through 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." That tells me this. Parents, there is life after kids are born. All right? There is life. Matter of fact, he was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. And then he lived another 300 years after that. And it goes on. "And all the days of Enoch were 365. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There's a blessing when we walk with God. I believe that one day that Enoch was walking with God, and he walked with him all day long. And he said, the Lord said to Enoch, he says, "Lord," or the Lord said to Enoch, he says, "Enoch," he said, "we've walked a long time today." He says, "You know," he says, "I think it's a little bit closer to my house than it is to yours. Why don't you come on up and spend the rest of the day?" And since there's no night there, he's still there. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. You see, there's a blessing when we walk with God. We get to experience His fellowship. And then we have a glorious future. The Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 14 or 12 and verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, but they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." In Isaiah 35 and verse number 8, it says, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein." You say, what are you trying to say? There are blessings. The blessings of peace, the blessings of comfort when we walk with God. The blessings of God's fellowship. The blessings of God's protection when we walk with God. In 1 John 2 and verse 6 it says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walked." As a child of God, we must learn to walk before we ever run. We must learn to walk before we ever run. Before we can run the race that God has set before us, let us learn to walk with God. The question this morning is this: how's your walk? Are you really walking with God? Is your life filled with these aspects? You say, "Well, preacher, I really don't know." And maybe today you're here with us and you really don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can never walk with God until, first of all, you trust Him by faith. And if you've never trusted Him by faith, you ought, when the invitation is given, you ought to run down the aisle and say, "Man, I need to get saved." And someone will take the Bible. And by the way, you don't have to do that. But I'm just saying, although I don't think I've ever had that happen. But you know, that'd be okay if somebody wanted to do that. I mean, but if a person needs to get saved, you ought to come and let someone show you from the Bible how you can have that confidence and that assurance that you're the child of God. You ought to trust Christ today. You ought to call on His name today. And if you've already done that, you ought to say, "Lord, help me to walk with You today." This is what I'd like to challenge you to do. Christian, how many would be willing to pray today as a Christian and say, Lord, help me to walk with You for the rest of this day. Just this day. Now tomorrow, that's a whole other issue. But I wonder how many would be willing to go ahead and say, I'd be willing to ask the Lord today to help me to walk with Him. That means I'm going to follow these 8 aspects today. I'm going to apply these 8 things to my life today. Would you be willing to do that? If you're willing to do that, would you take a stand? You're willing to walk with God today? Lord, You saw this. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, You've seen the people. You've seen the people stand. I would like to have you have a time where you can just pray. If you'd like to come to the altar today and seal that at the altar and say, Lord, help me to walk with You today, would You come? You don't have to. You can pray right there in the pew if you'd like. But most of all, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come and trust Him today? Would you come and trust Him to be your personal Savior? He waits with open arms, and so do we. Trust Christ. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You'd help us. Help us, Lord, to realize if we are going to strive together for the faith of the gospel, we need to learn to first walk. And that is to walk with You. Walking in the Spirit. Giving it our human best, filled with the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, now that You bless Your people. I pray, Lord, that You'd grant to them the strength and the determination, Lord, to bring their lives into complete submission to You. Help them, Lord, to walk as You would have them to walk. We ask it in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as the piano plays through a verse of invitation, we invite you to come. Would you come this morning? Come and pray and say, Lord, help me. Would you come? Lord, help me to walk in the Spirit of God. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come and trust Him? As Christians are praying, we invite you to come. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before You, we are so thankful, Lord, for Your word today. We're thankful, Lord, for the salvation that You offer so free and clear to each and every one of us. And Lord, we're thankful for those that have responded to that gospel call and trusted You as their Savior. But Lord, I pray if there's anyone today that's under the sound of My voice that has never responded to the gospel call, Lord, I pray that today they would come and trust You as their Savior. Lord, I ask and pray that You'd help each and every one of us to walk a life that's pleasing to You. Lord, help us to walk in such a manner that we might be able to glorify You. Lord, help us to take these truths that we learned today.
Lord, help us to apply them to our life. Guide and direct. We'll give you the praise and glory for everything that's said and done in Jesus' name. And for His sake we ask it. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Good to see you out. Services tonight at 6 o'clock. Choir practice is at 5 o'clock. God bless you.